journey. But we're all on a journey. We're all on a journey. That's what we've been talking about in Romans chapters 1 through 8. And it comes to a climax here. This isn't the end of the book by any means. But it comes to a climax here. And you'll see what I mean when I get going here, because I think God wants to say some things to us this morning from His Word, from testimony of how God is working. Jonathan, come and share a little bit how you've been on this journey and how Romans, specifically Romans 8, has kind of rattled your bones.
Yeah. One of my favorite books in all of the Bible. And I'm going to read verses 31 to 39 to the end of the chapter before I start with my testimony. And I'm going to read this in NIV 1984. Yeah. I have more compassion for the KJV people. I thought that they were real hardcore on KJV, didn't understand, until they took away NIV 1984. So I will be reviving that version and reading that for us today. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Today I have the honor of giving my testimony, or some of my testimony. And if you don't hear anything from my testimony other than this, I want you to hear this. Number one, God is for us. And two, nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. Romans 8:31 starts, what shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? In many ways, my testimony can be summed up in these simple words. God is for me. For many years, I didn't like to give my testimony as I didn't think it was exciting enough. But God changed my heart, and I'm excited to share with you today about God's faithfulness to me since I was a little boy. A faithfulness, actually, that began before even I was born. You see, God reached down from heaven and had grace upon my family. Right here, I'm holding an obituary of my great-great-grandfather, George Washington Leitner. He was never a part of a church. In fact, he was known to be a dishonest man, a swindler. But as his obituary states, 3 months before he died, God had mercy on him. And he sought the Lord for salvation. Amen. And received a new happiness from the giver of every good and perfect gift. It was around that same time that my great-grandfather and my grandfather gave their lives to Christ. My great-grandfather is an adult and my grandfather is a youth. I had the pleasure of knowing my grandfather. He was a man of simple faith, who worked hard, enjoyed life, He was a generous man and freely gave of himself and of his resources. Then there was my father. There's no one on the planet that I respect as much as my father. He gave his life to Christ as a youth. He has a love for God and has maintained that through his whole life. He's one of my greatest gifts. Dad showed me how to work hard. He showed me what it means to sacrifice, to love, to provide for one's wife and for one's family. He showed me to trust God even when things get stormy. God also gave me a mother who loves Jesus. She has a big heart. She prays daily for those she loves. It was in a Christian home that I grew up, never a question whether we would go to church, worshiping our Lord. My earliest memories include perfect attendance pin from Sunday school. But more importantly, something I learned early on in the first verse that I ever memorized was John 14:1-6. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. At the age of 5, my mother led me in a prayer, and I asked Jesus into my heart. I'm a child of God, not because of anything I deserve, but God picked me up and cleaned me off and made me his child. God is for me. God is for you. Now, last night, Christine reminded me, hey, you know, Jonathan, you're getting up there in years. You may not be able to cover everything in your life story. My wife is a wise woman, so I will attempt to abbreviate some of my story. God gave me a wonderful upbringing. I grew up in this church. Steve Enns was my youth pastor. We went on many missions trips during my time here. And God led me into missions in Central Mexico, where I spent 9 years as a missionary in Fresnillo, Zacatecas. It was there I met the love of my life, my soulmate, my best friend, and greatest treasure. Christine Logan and I were married in 2001. Years later, God blessed me with 2 beautiful daughters, and I consider myself one of the most blessed people on the planet. God is for me, and God is for you. Now, it's easy at this point in the testimony to believe that God is for me, but can I be separated from God's love? Is God for us if we have troubles? Is God for us? Is God for us if we have hardships? Is God for us if we experience nakedness? If we experience danger, is God for us if we experience the sword? We see in the book of Job, Satan says to God, of course Job loves you. You've put a hedge around him. You've put a hedge around everything he has. You've blessed his work, and look, he's got his flocks and his herds as far as the eye can see. You see, it's easy for us to believe that God is for us when everything goes our way. But can we believe it when troubles and hardships hit? Can we believe it when we see nakedness and danger and sword? Do these things separate us from the love of Christ? On June 30, 2011, I heard those dreaded words. You have cancer. Many of the details following that proclamation are foggy in my head as these words reverberated. In the depths of my soul, will you still bow down? Will you still bow down if you lose your health? Will you still bow down if you lose your life? Will you still bow down? In the weeks to follow, I experienced the greatest spiritual battle I have ever experienced. As my soul cried out, why? Why, Lord, if you love me, why? Why did you let this happen to me? The battle raged in my body, in my mind, and in my spirit. At the height of the battle, I felt as though I was in a desert. Life had lost its color. Life had lost its flavor. Life had lost its sweet aroma. I felt stricken and smitten. That night, I had a spiritual experience that I can only describe as the night that I fought the dragon. I can't describe it to you, but my soul felt a change. I felt a unique peace that I had not felt. I wrestled with God, but He held me tight. He held me close, and He asked me to trust Him. Over the next several weeks, I went through a grueling regimen of chemotherapy. Every minute, every hour, every day was a struggle. And it progressively got harder as my body, along with the cancer, was slowly being destroyed. Why does God let this happen? In the midst of all of this, my wife stood by me. She cared for me. She fed me. She sat with me for hours as I took my chemotherapy treatment. One day, as Christine and I drove to Wichita for more chemotherapy, she encouraged me with the following words. She said, Jonathan, this is your pulpit right now. You would totally be willing to go through this if you knew that it would bring people to Jesus. She was right. But deep in my heart, I had an out-of-body experience as I saw Jesus face to face. He asked me, "Jonathan, would you do this for me?" No explanation. I'm not going to tell you the reason. Would you do this for me? I knew that deep down in my soul, the answer was yes. Yes, Jesus, for all the love that you provided for me, all the faithfulness that you showed me. You gave your life to me. How could I say no? Yes, Jesus, I will do this for you. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or nakedness or danger or sword? No! In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. In my darkest hours, God has been there and he's held me tight. When I was stricken with cancer, he was with me. Many of you know that my sister-in-law was killed not long ago in a car accident. It tore up my heart to see my brother lose his wife and his children their mother. Do I know why God permitted it? No, I don't. But I know that through that experience, we were not separated from God's love. God was with us in those dark hours, holding us tight, providing for us, for our needs, and carrying us forward. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
This is a long pause. Thank you. And that, people, brothers and sisters, is why the computer ate my sermon this morning. I'm not lying. It's gone. The sermon has just been spoken. Let me read this scripture again one more time. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and he is sitting at the place of honor at God's right hand pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from his love? Does it mean that he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity, or persecuted, or hungry, or destitute, or in danger, or threatened with death? No. As the scriptures say, for our sake, we are killed every day. We're being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ Jesus, who loved us. All right, I just say one thing. I'm not going to do a sermon. That overwhelming victory, it's a combination of two Greek words, hyper Nike. You get the picture? Hyper Nike. We are super conquerors through what Jesus Christ has done for us. We can face these things and come out on top. Not only just on top. It's not like we just had an overtime victory where we won by one. No, this is a 77 zip, 100 to zip. Overwhelmingly, we are victors through Christ Jesus, who loved us. And I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord, I just thank you for your love for us and how it speaks so loudly. After we've gone through suffering and after we've gone through some tough times, thank you for your glory shining through our lives. Thank you for the journey that you've taken Jonathan on and the glory that is seen in his life. May you continue to use his story, his victories, his suffering to speak into other people's lives who are struggling and not knowing hope, not knowing where they'll spend eternity, not knowing who will help them through their dark days here on this earth right now. May you use him, Lord, to speak into their lives. Use all of us, Lord, to reflect your glory. And if we're facing tough times, Lord, help us to lean into you. Lean into your love. To trust you. To see us through. Thank you for your love for us. That never leaves us hanging. You're always there with us. Thank you for your love, Lord. Thank you for this testimony. May you be honored and glorified in all of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.